Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
The number is 603-283-6160. Somebody took a screenshot of you showing off your phone, by the way. One of our chatters over at chat.freetalklive.com.
It looks worse than it is, I promise.
He closes like, just for those that weren't watching, he's got a, he was digging through the desk in here and he pulled out one of those like legal paper clip things.
The binder clip.
The binder clip, yeah. And he's using that to, looks like, hold his phone together.
It's working fabulously.
It's actually to cover the front-facing camera.
Okay. Now, so it's a privacy feature.
Now, I realize I'm an old man, but once upon a time, we had these things called lens caps.
Yes,
and
yes.
Lens caps would make it so that your camera could not be a camera some of the time.
Right.
Okay. All right.
But clearly, there wasn't much market desire for that, so they never built them into the phones.
Yeah, microphones used to have on-off switches.
I know, right?
Yeah, they had these little adhesive things. You can do a little slidey window on it, and you kind of slide it on and off.
For your laptop?
I think you could do it on
your phone.
Too.
They probably do.
Wouldn't surprise me if you could do that. But yeah, you're doing it old school.
Yeah.
So anyway, with you tonight, it's Ian.
Beakless Mountaineer.
And the Reverend Captain Kickass.
Let's go to your phone calls and thoughts here. The number is 603-283-6160. Coming up, since we're talking about money stuff, you got a CBDC story, Captain, about Americans and their opinions on this new
concept. You know Americans have opinions.
About, a lot of times they don't even know what they're talking about, so we'll see what this is about.
Doesn't keep them from opining.
Regarding the CBDC, the Central Bank Digital Currency. But Major Payne is on the line right now in Michigan. Go ahead, Major.
Yeah, I got a real simple fix for your computer camera.
Okay.
You know where they're at? They're right in the center on the top.
Mm-hmm.
All you got to do is take like a nickel or a quarter, and it's suspended on a piece of tape. You can flip it down and flip it up.
Huh, nice.
Yeah, it probably isn't going to work that well with a cell phone. I think Peakless's solution is better.
No, not with a cell phone. It would have to be something stationary.
For the computer major, like I think for like $3... You can get one of these self-adhesive camera. It's like a lens cap, but
they
it's
give
for
them
your
away
laptop.
At some places.
A lot of tech companies will give them away.
Right.
You can find them, and it just slides to the left and to the right.
They're kind of chintzy, but
they're very chintzy. I've never had one that stayed adhesed to anything.
I bought a 5-pack. I've used one, I've got 4 to spare.
Ooh.
Not bad.
Should I need
them
again?
I'm just trying to think outside the box.
All right, Major. That's not why you were calling, though.
No, that's not where I was going. You guys are talking about taxes and property and whatnot, and I'm thinking about the degradation of the cities and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And the mayor of Detroit has an interesting concept. It hasn't come to fruition, but it's at least in the stew pot. And what he's thinking about doing is all the vacant lots, and I don't know if the abandoned properties are going to be pooled in with this or not, but he's going to raise the taxes on all those and lower the taxes on the people that are still maintaining their houses in the city. So it's basically, I mean, if you want to hold on to that piece of land because you're planning on taking over the whole damn residential neighborhood at some point, which is what these big companies do, then you're going to have to pay to keep that piece of dirt.
And so, I mean, taxation is theft regardless of how it's applied.
Well, it is, but he's trying to save the city at the same time.
Taxation is theft, but corporations are unnatural non-entities, so,
I feel bad for Detroit, where I think you could still buy a house for the price of a VCR, and the fact that most people don't know what VCRs are these days should tell you something about
it. It probably doesn't have any copper tubing in it or anything like that. It's been stripped of whatever was of value.
But the way I look at Detroit is, it basically is cancer. And it has spread through not just Detroit, but it's moving south down in that whole
the Rust Belt.
Yeah, that whole area between Detroit and like all the way down to like Toledo, Ohio, has become like the cancer grew. Like it started in Detroit, and over time it has just progressed and progressed. And no chemotherapy has helped, and no treatments are really possible at this point. I think it's gotten so out of hand that there is no viable solution other than the government to get out of the way and let the market decide what happens.
Well, all of the big towns in southern Michigan have gone bad. I mean, Muskegon, there's a water park there. I wouldn't take my kids there for love nor money. If you paid me, I wouldn't take my kids there.
What about Grand Rapids?
Grand Rapids has gotten real bad, too. There's a place, you know, Michigan Avenue, U.S. 12. It used to be an Indian trail that connected Fort Detroit with Chicago. Okay, that's now Michigan Ave. But right between dead center, there's a little town called Battle Creek. It's been called Battle Crack for 20 years now.
Battle Crack. Have they changed the street signs?
That's hilarious.
Is that a reference to the war on drugs?
It's dead center between Detroit and Chicago, so it's the perfect place.
We used to be on in Battle Creek,
as it were, from the old days, you know.
A long time ago. Not even that long ago. You know what? I want to talk about this this idea, though, before we move on, about punishing people who have, you know, undeveloped land in Detroit. And basically what's going to happen here is it's going to be a rush to the exits. And this isn't. It sounds like it's going to affect not just big corporations, but a small individual. If your grandma, whatever, left you some property in Detroit and it was never built on, you've just been holding on to it in the hopes that, I don't know, maybe the city will come back someday and it'll be worth something. Now you're going to be incentivized to sell to maybe one of these big corporations or whatever. So it actually may end up putting a lot more small property in the hands of the big companies who have big plans. You're going to punish the little guy, and if it gets to the point where you can't easily sell it because it's so punishing, like I don't know how bad they're going to hit people. Like if it's so punishing to hold on to a piece of undeveloped property, then it may be hard to find someone who wants to buy it, right? So if you put something on the market, you're like, all right, well, they're charging me too much money. I'm out. I can't afford the property taxes on this undeveloped land. I'm out. I'm selling. And no one buys it, and it's like 6 months later, a year later, now you've had to pay the property tax bill again. You're like, crap, this sucks. You're just going to turn it over to the city at some point. You're just going to say, you know what? I'm done. You can have it. And so this is actually going to aggregate land to the city, I think.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, this is a play. So they want to scare everybody about the corporations coming in and buying all this cheap land and used, you know, old abandoned houses and stuff. That no, they shouldn't have that. So we'll but what this is a land grab by the city to own more land themselves.
That's, I think, what this is, for sure.
Absolutely.
Anything else, Major?
Well, you know what might happen to you if you've been worshiping at the altar of FICA faithfully? They might be charging you $60 a month just because your credit score is too good. Because everybody else is lagging on their payments and living above their means.
I heard something about this where, like, they're gonna start. I don't even know how they plan to implement this, but they're gonna start charging people for having too good of a credit score.
Wow.
Yeah, $60 a month. I think if your score is over 820 or 840.
Wow,
that's crazy.
So if you've been worshiping at the altar of FICA, you better get your knee pads on and be ready to grovel some more.
Well, obviously you're privileged if you have a high FICA score, so, you know, you need to be punished for your privilege.
That just means you faithfully pay Massa on time.
Which is clearly white privilege,
You mean MasterCard?
So, just to be clear, who's going to be charging the people with good credit?
I do not have that information.
Okay. Because normally just existing with good credit, no one's able to charge you for that. So I presume it would have to be somebody providing you with some kind of a banking service or whatever. Interesting theory. Thank you, Major, for the call tonight. I appreciate it. Looking at the houses in Detroit right now on Zillow, I've got a filter on for up to $10,000. And there's quite a few options there. If you're you're willing to buy a real rundown ramshackle property, they still got them for you there in Detroit. You're going to have a lot of cleanup work to do. Probably better off just tearing the whole thing down. Although why anybody would want to live in Detroit, of course, is the ultimate question.
And I think that Detroit is a precursor to what's going to happen to many major metropolitan areas. I think it's a look at, you know, if your city is based on one thing, right, which Detroit was, right, General Motors,
mm-hmm.
right, it was that one thing, making cars. That's what Detroit did. When that thing goes kaput, Detroit became the zombie wasteland that it is now. And
didn't help that they had a massive big government with all kinds of, you know, welfare. And,
well, this is what caused it,
yeah.
and why all the major automotive manufacturers left.
Yeah.
Right, is because of all that.
Had there not been such an oppressive government, they might have had more than one industry.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, you look at younger cities, like one of the reasons that when I was young, I moved to the Seattle area was because the city itself was young. Most of Seattle was built after the 50s, right? So that's pretty young for a major metropolitan area. And that's sort of, you know, one of the draws for it for me back in the day was I'm like, yeah, I want to go somewhere young. And when I got there, it really only had Boeing and then the port,
mm-hmm.
right? That was kind of Microsoft sort of was up and coming at that point. And so that attracted, and all of a sudden, now Seattle's known as a tech hub.
Amazon's there now, right?
Yeah, Amazon's there, Microsoft. There's a whole bunch mm-hmm. of other tech companies that are there. And so Boeing is there. All the tech companies are there and the port. So they've got sort of, you know, a trifecta, if you will, of industries going on in the area, which should be a lesson to other cities. Decentralizing in any way, shape, or form is the best way to go about doing things, even if you're a government entity, right? So
sure.
if you're a city and you want to make sure Detroit doesn't happen to your city, you got to attract a diverse group of businesses to your city. Because you never know when one's going to fall out, and if you're dependent on one industry,
you're in trouble.
You're going to be Detroit.
Yep. Yeah, that's a great point. There was an example like that here in New Hampshire, the town of Berlin. In the North Country, as they call
it. Oh, yeah.
Well, I guess it's technically a city, but it's only like, you know, 10,000 people or whatever that live there. It had a big logging industry in Berlin, and the big company shut down at some point, and people started leaving, and
yep.
the prices of homes started to just fall through the floor where you could go in there. Probably not now. They've probably gone up somewhat in the last couple of years, but it used to be that you could go to Berlin, lock, you know, lay down $40,000 cash and walk away with a four quadplex or whatever, a triplex or something like
it's
that.
Like, relatively speaking, like dollar for dollar, adjusted for inflation, the real estate up there is still
cheaper.
Some of the most
yeah.
inexpensive for a city that you're going to find in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
To say it's a city is a little bit of a misnomer. It's a town.
It's a town, but they call it a city because that's what it's been labeled.
Yeah. I have heard bad things about, you know, sort of the good old boys network of the government there.
It's true everywhere, though.
Right.
I mean, those people are everywhere.
But if you're, you know, strapped for cash, but you want to buy a house and you're moving to New Hampshire, that might be a place for you to look.
Well, nature abhors a monoculture. Whether it's Irish potatoes or the car industry of Detroit.
Right.
If you have only one thing, eventually something will come along that knocks out that one thing, and you will either have something else going on, or you will collapse entirely. And, of course, the only thing that causes something as unnatural as that kind of a business monoculture is the effect of government regulations.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now, Captain. This is definitely not... I mean, the real estate market is having a tough time, as I understand it. There's not a lot of options out there. I was talking with Mark Warden about it from Porcupine Real Estate just a couple of days ago. He was at Jay Noon's, or Jane Challen's trial.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, how are things going? He says it's slow. He says the whole industry is slow. There's not a lot of inventory on the market. And even in Berlin, it ain't like it was a few, you know, just several years ago where if you filtered for less than $100,000 in Berlin, you'd have a ton
you'd
of
have the
options.
Whole town, yeah.
Right now, four.
Really?
There's only four houses under $100,000 in Berlin.
Yeah, okay, but go to like 150.
Yeah, I'll give you a few more, but I'm just saying, it used to be crazy options.
You got
to
figure that... here in New Hampshire, I would say
Prices have gone up. That's true.
Since 2019, I would say double whatever the 2019 price is for the value today. So if you were trying to buy a house in New Hampshire for $100,000, that house now would be $200,000.
Well, yeah, people have been flooding out of the cities, especially since they decentralized a lot of the work. So as soon as they found out, okay, fine, we'll let you Zoom call, well, a lot of them just kept Zoom calling, and it's like, oh, you mean I don't have to live in this horrible cesspit?
It's so weird that you talk about this because I actually had to work really hard and bust my ass at an actual go-to-the-office job to earn the privilege of working from home. Like, this was a benefit that they would give only the elite workers, only the ones who've proven themselves to be worthy of the privilege of working from home. And then I moved to New Hampshire, and a year later, COVID kicks in, and now everybody's working from home, right? So I was ahead of the curve again.
It's kind of like that blue check mark for Twitter.
I never got that. And in fact, here's what I don't like about the Twitter, now that you bring up Twitter, subscriptions. Like, there's this guy, Zuby.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. Sure, you get anyway, I can't read any of his stuff now because every time he posts something, it says, you must subscribe to see this post. Sorry, Zuby, I ain't reading your crap. I ain't subscribing.
You ain't that great, right? Yeah.
You're not worth subscribing to. I actually
felt the same way about him recently. It was like, okay, the last two or three times I've seen a post from him, it's been locked out to subscribers only. Yep. And my thought was, I'm going to just probably unfollow him at some point because now you're just taking up space.
I'm actually going to let the algorithm take care of it, because if I don't click on stuff and say that I like that guy and like his post, the algorithm's going to be like, oh, I'm not going to serve him up any of that guy.
$200,000, if you put that limit on Zillow in Berlin, New Hampshire, it's only 16 responses. So it's still not a whole lot.
The town's not that big. I mean, I would be surprised to see more than 30 on the market.
Yeah, maybe. I'm just remembering the good old days, Captain, where you could literally, you know, get
like,
four units.
I considered buying $30,000 like several properties for the price of the one property that I bought.
You just have to live up there.
Yeah.
Honestly, if you're considering buying property, I would wait a while because
could be crashing, right?
Yeah. What it looks like is that the crash has started. Like, we've had the blow off top, and now things are just headed down, and they probably will be until there is the fabled Fed pivot. Because right now the interest rate that you pay for getting a mortgage is insane, so almost no one wants to do it.
People don't want to buy with the mortgage rates, and actually right now looking at these houses, there's several of them that are over 100 days on Zillow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
now, mind you, this one's not going to be like 2008. Like first the commercial properties are going to drop. That's going to be the big one. After that happens is when the residential properties are going to drop in price. And that's when you want to snap all this
And
up.
Isn't there like a trillion in commercial properties coming up for renewal or something like that pretty
soon?
Commercial payments or whatever they are.
Yep. Yeah, the commercial real estate market is just not well. It is
ill. It's really bad.
Yeah. You have a couple of, it's really a perfect storm at this point. Mm-hmm. So you have just a general, let's call it what it is, people, it's a recession.
Yep.
Even if it hasn't been announced by our masters.
It's been more than 60 days.
Yeah, it's a recession. You have people don't have the money. All of the people are shopping online, so they're not actually going to the shops. So these shops aren't paying for themselves. I mean, it's all of these things all at once. And it's finally coming to a head at this point. So, yeah, you do have, and it's this big bubble payment that's at the end. And they do not have the money for it. Oh, and they no longer have the ability to get a loan to pay it off in the future instead.
Yeah, there's a company that I used to work for had an office in the Seattle area. And then COVID kicked in. And they just sent everybody home to work from home because they had the tools to do so. And so they did. And they gave up their lease.
Yeah, they walked away from it. Paid whatever they had to pay to do it, too, right?
Yeah. And there's
penalties for that.
And what's funny about this is I lofted the idea of, increasing the amount of people who work from home as a cost savings to the company. I put together a spreadsheet. I went and talked to accounting, had them run some numbers for me, and put together, like, a little proposal for some of the executives or whatever and said, hey, you know, if you do this, you can actually save money on your employee costs.
Mm-hmm.
And so this will actually pay for itself. And the response that I got was, oh, no, we're definitely a come to the office and work at the office type of
this
company.
This was pre-COVID that you made this.
Pre-COVID. Even though they had people working remotely already, but these were the privileged people. And so I was like, oh, okay, if that's the stance you're going to take, I'm just going to bust my ass and I'll earn the privilege. That's fine.
And you did.
And I did. And so, like, I'm happy about that. But also, I'm unhappy about it because, like, I was right. It is a cost savings. And so now, now the response that I get from people at that company is, oh, yeah, well, the company just realized that it could save a bunch of money if it didn't have this big-ass office.
Sure,
space.
The company realized the thing that I told you.
Yeah, and they didn't have to buy, like, because they'd provide, like, free coffee and snacks and stuff like that. They didn't have to have a refrigerator, a freezer. They didn't have to have the water guy come in with the bottles of water and all that stuff. They didn't have to provide
the electric
bathrooms, you know, the electric bill alone, all of the hardware. Hardware, the infrastructure, the maintenance of an office, cleaning.
You remember the toilet paper crunch that we had during COVID?
Oh, yeah.
The reason for that was because of the amount of toilet paper that people were using at work, which is, of course, a different kind and a lower grade of toilet paper.
Sure,
but you are still needing the same amount of toilet paper, and now it's not getting produced.
Right.
And like, so just little things like that that you wouldn't even necessarily think were a major expense, but man, it adds up. Yeah. So all of the shops, they're not paying for themselves. All of the places where we put all of our workers together. Well, turns out that was a complete waste of money. Yeah.
Yeah, so you factor that into the fact that these commercial entities are giving up their leases. Mm-hmm. They're saying, walking away. I remember they gave an example during COVID of, I think it was the website Pinterest, which I guess some people use. But they had like a huge building they were planning to move into. They'd locked in the contract, and they paid like a couple $1 million in cancellation fees to get out of that deal because they would rather have done that than get into this next, 5-year lease or whatever they were going to get into, $98 million or something like that. They just said, you know what? We don't need this anymore. And so you have a situation where that's happening all over the place. We talked about how a lot of these commercial properties are, in some cases half empty or whatever. I don't know what the actual statistic is, but it's pretty significant. Yeah. And and the problem is there's not like a line of people knocking on the door to say, hey, if you lower the rates, we'll take this business. We'll put our business in here.
Right.
Because how can you get a loan to start a new business at this point? Right.
Yeah.
So you've got, perfect storm.
Oh, yeah. And, in case this wasn't enough, we have suddenly taken the ceiling off of the money printing. So maybe there'll be an infinite money printing. Oh, and of course, Janet Yellen says, it's time to refill the Treasury's general account. So that means you need a lot of us to buy a bunch of treasuries. So you're going to be printing a bunch of treasuries up, are you? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're talking like crazy collapses that are possible in the very, very near future. Like, we might not even make it to the end of the month before a complete financial meltdown because of the amount of treasuries that we're going to have to print up in order for Janet Yellen to refill the government's bank account because they spent all that money bailing out these banks and then failing to bail them out.
There's more coming up here. If you want to join the show, the number is 603-283-6160. I was just looking up a commercial real estate story from the National Review from just a few days ago, commercial real estate finding a clearing price. Some holders of New York commercial real estate are throwing in the towel. We can talk about that coming up here at Free Talk Live.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of 3 major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
The U.S. USA News Update. President Biden officially signed the debt ceiling bill into law on Saturday. It raises the federal debt limit while avoiding a possible USA default. In light of a dozen horse deaths in the past month, Churchill Downs will not race for the remainder of the spring session. The track will examine its safety measures. Several Republican presidential nominees are criticizing Donald Trump's recent comments about North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. On Friday, Trump made a social media post congratulating Kim on North Korea's newly appointed seat at the World Health Organization. Over the weekend, former Vice President Mike Pence, former U.S. Ambassador Nikki Haley, and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis slammed Trump for the move. Pence and Chris Christie are reportedly set to announce their candidacy this week. The writer's strike continued through a 33rd day with no new talk scheduled. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Talk Live. You can join the show here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. We have time for you if you dial in shortly and get you on to talk about whatever is on your mind. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Because Mountaineer.
And the Reverend Captain Kickass.
And we were just telling you about some real estate here in New Hampshire, just talking about commercial real estate in general. And if you are looking to make the move here to New Hampshire as part of the Free State Project, if you're a libertarian or a voluntarist or liberty-loving anarchist, then you ought to be talking to Mark Warden over at Porcupine Real Estate and his staff, because they really know the lay of the land here. These are part of these people are part of the community. These are, I believe, almost all, if not all, Free Staters who are working for Mark over there at Porcupine Real Estate. They're doing some webinars on various different freedom-related topics like gun freedom, medical freedom, political freedom victories. They're also going to tell you about best practices for moving to the Free State and finding housing. These are very helpful webinars, and they're free to attend. All you have to do is register over at move.freetalklive.com. That will take you over to the Porcupine Real Estate website. Once again, that's move.freetalklive.com. You can sign up there. You can also watch their previous presentations on their YouTube channel, which is called Porcupine Real Estate. So if you're interested in making the move up here to join the freedom migration to New Hampshire, then you definitely got to be talking to the guys over at Porcupine Real Estate.
Love those guys.
Once again, that's move.freetalklive.com to get signed up. Let's talk to Tony. He's listening in Chattanooga to WGOW. Go ahead, Tony.
Hey there. Good night. I was listening to your
to your buddy last night on the show.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about using weed and everything. I want to tell you, as a marijuana aficionado for 40 years now.
Nice.
My usage has changed.
Okay.
When I was young, yes, I smoked to get high. In these days, the older I get, I'll be 60 years old soon, and I smoke now for pain relief.
Mm-hmm. Is this Willie Nelson?
So, no.
Willie's like 80-something. No,
I wish I had his money.
Yeah.
But,
I wish I had his weed.
He has money again? I thought the IRS took it all.
Oh, of course, they always do.
Nice. All right.
But you know, I was just wanting to throw in there that older people are smoking now for pain relief.
Now, are you still smoking, or are you trying the edibles or the vaporizer?
Oh no, I've moved. I've had no choice but to move to vape.
Mm-hmm.
The Delta 8, Delta 10,
yeah,
which is legal down here. I'm not certain about New Hampshire.
Right. Yes, I believe it is.
And to me, I guess I'm getting it from the wrong place, but. The Delta 8 and the Delta 10 is stronger than the so-called loud that I'm used to.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking that I'm getting immune to the true marijuana strain
Is loud the slang for the high-end cannabis in Tennessee?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is in the South down here. That's
so funny.
They
got different terms everywhere.
You got loud.
We need a dime bag of the loud.
The loud, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Up here they call it headies.
Headies?
In New England. And where I was from, it was called, in Florida, it was called the chronic.
Right? Yeah, the chronic.
Oh, yeah. Now, look, I grew up in Atlanta in the 80s. Okay, so the best thing back in was the Sensimilla, of course. But you don't
back
find
when,
that anymore.
Back when most of it had seeds in it. Sorry,
right,
go ahead.
Right. So this stuff that's out nowadays, they're saying is better than all that from back then.
Mm-hmm.
And I disagree with it because the concentrated liquid that they're putting in the vape cartridges now, the Delta 8 and the Delta 10, on the first puff, you can feel the difference.
Mm.
All right, this regular marijuana that I got just yesterday, day before yesterday, I can't get high on it.
Damn!
And then I go back to my vape pen, and the pain relief just goes away.
Oof.
All right,
the pain goes away. But, just to clarify, you're saying the pain goes away.
The pain goes away. Your brain, come on.
Yeah.
I thought you were like developing a tolerance to this as well, and it's like, oh man, what do you do then?
Oh no. And it's kind of scary because they talk about the lead and the nickel that's in the vape.
Mm-hmm.
It's just destroying people's lungs from what I've heard now.
From what I understand, part of that is you get what you pay for. The cheaper vapes they will fall apart a lot easier, so mm-hmm. they are more likely to deposit those heavy metals. But, I mean, it's new for that to be a commonplace technology, so that's it's a little dicey.
Captain, you've been known to test out some of the Delta 8. Mm-hmm. You've had some of the drinks, for instance.
Right? I have, yeah.
Have you done anything else besides that, or Not really.
Mm-hmm. I really like the beverages, though.
Oh, yeah.
I actually prefer, I've moved, as I've gotten older, away from smoking and more to the edibles, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in the Seattle area, I used to get these.
Where it was legal and you could buy it from a store.
Yeah, I could walk 3 blocks down the road and be like, oh, hey, look, it's the weed. Mm-hmm. It was called, like, the pot shop or something.
Original.
Yeah, I'm like, well, marketing genius is your name in this place. Anyway, I would buy, my favorite was they had these sugar-free dark chocolates,
mm-hmm.
right? So as a large man, you know, trying to shed the pounds, you know, that was my favorite because, well, I could still, you know, get the effects, but, you know, without all the calories and the sugar. Especially.
And don't these drinks that you've had have zero calories?
Yeah, there's a place online I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head now.
I'm surprised. Get them all the time.
Yeah, I order from them frequently, but perhaps it's the marijuana.
Yeah, I thought they had Delta 8 didn't they have Delta 8 in the title? Anyway.
Yes. Yeah, in fact, I believe their website is like Delta Beverages. com, something like that. And you can order it like by the six pack or by the case.
Okay.
And that kind of a thing. And it just has Delta 8 in it, but they changed their formula. Like, I became a customer and I liked their product, and then they changed their formula, and it was even better. And I was like, oh, bravo, you guys.
Did they ever do the Delta 10? Have you ever tried the Delta 10?
I have not, no.
And Tony, don't they also have like a Delta 0 or something?
I'm not certain. I've not heard that part yet.
Okay.
Now, I will say the Delta 10 that I got was not from a shop. Mm. This was from, under the table. And this
from the street.
Lasted a long time. Mm. It was very, very effective. And but then I went to another one. I don't know if I'm allowed to say the name of it or not, the brand name, but it was as good as the Delta 10.
Nice.
What the guy said was Delta 10, and it didn't look a thing like Delta 8. Delta 8's clear, and this was milky.
Yeah, interesting.
This was you couldn't see through the stuff.
Well, I'm glad that you find something that works for you. There's so many people who struggle with all sorts of things, whether it's going to sleep regularly, whether it's pain for a chronic ailment or something like that.
Right.
No pun intended. But like different strains of marijuana affect people differently.
Yeah,
and so you do need to do a little bit of variety testing to find out what works for you specifically for whatever it is you're trying to do. And I'm so glad that you found something that works.
Yeah, Tony, thanks for calling and sharing your story here with us tonight. I definitely appreciate hearing from you.
Awesome. Thanks for being on the radio, guys. Love
you
all.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you, Tony. The number, if you want to join us here, at 603-283-6160. So some holders, according to the National Review of New York Commercial Real Estate, you know, which is one of the hottest real estate markets as far as price is concerned. Mm-hmm. Right? It's very expensive to buy things there. Appear to be throwing in the towel. The Wall Street Journal recently reported that some of New York's best-known real estate developers are unloading their least viable office buildings at deep discounts, cracking open a sales market that had all but closed in the first quarter. RXR defaulted on their $240 million loan on a 33-story office tower in Lower Manhattan.
Just defaulted.
Yep. The developer, which owns and manages dozens of commercial and residential properties in the New York City area, has said it will turn over ownership of the office tower at 61 Broadway to whomever buys the defaulted debt.
Okay, so just from a layman's perspective, if I buy a house and I have a mortgage on it, and I run into financial trouble, and for whatever reason I can no longer pay the mortgage, a series of things occurs before I actually default.
Right.
And so for them to have defaulted in a commercial sense, I imagine that this same type of a scenario has played out, that they have attempted to sell it, that they have attempted to do any kind of, you know, whatever mortgage tricks and things the governments allow businesses to do to, you know, I don't know if forbearance comes to mind for, you know, like student loans allow you to forbear loans or that kind of thing. So all the legal tricks that they're allowed to do, they've already tried and have failed. They've had it on the market. No one bought it. And so now they're just like, eh. Is that what I'm getting?
Yeah.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, and a lot of that process is probably going through on a lot of properties right now. And one of the issues that's going on, so they just invented this thing to keep banks out of trouble, but it only applies to U.S. treasuries. So the mortgage-backed securities, including commercial real estate mortgages, are no longer as viable as they used to be with this new facility, because it's all competing, right? They didn't used to have to compete to get people to buy treasuries. Every nation on earth used to want it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not so much anymore. So they've had to make special deals like, okay, even if you default, we can just go back to this, but only if you're backed by treasuries.
They're hiring like salespeople. Please buy our securities.
Yeah,
buy our
pretty much. Yeah, one of the like weird things that I'm kind of waiting to see, like if they're going to help each other or fight each other, is like Yellen and Powell, the chair of the Federal Reserve. They do not see eye to eye on a number of issues, and Powell could help out Yellen with this Treasury thing by reducing what's called the reverse repo rate, which is basically where banks put money in their own bank for the interest rate. He could reduce that, and then they'll be like, oh, well, since I'm not getting any profit from that, I'll move these over into treasuries now. Or he could not reduce that, and we have some serious S-storm coming our way.
I just had this bizarre vision of Toyota Jan doing a Toyota-thon, right, on television, the commercial for when Toyota has their big sale every year. This girl, Jan, comes on. I got a crush on her. Anyway, she comes on, and it's like, Toyota-thon, I buy a new Toyota, and you get some free securities.
Yeah, I mean, it's like that, only they're probably going to move to, we've changed the rules so that these things require this much to be in treasuries.
Maybe Bud Light and the treasuries can get together and, like, sell both, right? Buy this case of Bud Light for $7 and you get a free treasury in every case.
Or buy this treasury, get 10,000 cans of Bud Light free.
So here's the other question about this building in New York City, 61 Broadway. What's its current occupancy rate? How many of the floors are rented?
Yes.
And apparently, according to CommercialObserver.com, in a separate article about this, they say it is currently unclear as to what the rate is. Now, they're going to have to give that information up when they're looking to unload the property.
How is it unclear? Are people coming and going every day?
Well, I guess they just have to post the numbers.
What's the name of this organization? The Something Observer?
Commercial Observer.
They should start observing.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing if people are coming and going out of the building. How many of them? Where do they work?
What floor do they go to? In 2014, when times were good, it was 91% occupied following its most recent purchase at that time. But now it's unclear, and it did lose a major tenant in 2021 when a company called Notel, which had occupied four floors of the building, filed for bankruptcy in January.
Let me guess, they were a hotel chain?
I don't know. K-N-O-T-E-L, if you want to go.
What was the last reported occupancy rate?
91%, but that was in 2014. That was in 2014, and they lost a four-story tenant in 2021. So it's a 33-story building. So, you know,
back when America was rich enough to overthrow the government of Ukraine.
So even if sellers are appearing in the market, will buyers appear in the market?
Okay, so I'll give this apartment building to whoever wants to take on the mortgage. Well, how many renters do you have? I'm not telling.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, I'll give you a dollar.
Right.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see where this thing sells at. I mean, somebody in this article is predicting it'll sell for half of its whatever assessed price.
The most important question. Is what is the tax liability of that building?
In New York City?
Yeah.
God knows.
Like, how much does an owner have to pay to, you know, own that building? Because even if you could buy that building for a dollar, right, that's not important. The sale price is the least important part in my book. The most important part is how much is the tax bill every month?
Not only that, you're also talking about New York City, and there's all kinds of other requirements that are involved. In fact, they address that in another paragraph here.
Oh, hoop jumping.
Where if New York City, they say, is serious about reviving the prospects of buildings, where in some cases abandonment is the most cost-efficient option, bringing urban blight in the wake of their failure, it will drop the retrofitting requirement. And what they're referring to is retrofitting requirements for green climate stuff. So the New York City government wants to shove all this green stuff down all these building owners' throats. And some of these guys are saying, look, we can't find tenants right now without taking on all the extra cost of retrofitting the building.
Yeah.
And you guys are charging us God knows how much taxes every year. They're like, screw this.
I've got it. You just get rid of your remaining tenants, and then you're perfectly green because no one's using any electricity at all. Then you can get the tax credits off of being super duper green and maybe pay your taxes on having the building.
Yeah. Now, let's go to the phones here. We've got a caller. You're on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
Hey, this is Rusty from Portland.
Hey, Rusty. What's on your mind tonight?
Y'all were talking about a non-shop, and I can report it is not a scam.
This is a non-shop.app?
You've used it?
Yep. Yeah, okay. I've used it twice.
Tell us more.
But you got to remember a couple of things when you use it. You got to make sure the package will actually fit in the locker.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go pick up the package, you might want to wear a mask and sunglasses.
Right,
because you'll be on camera.
Right.
in the business that has these lockers. Apparently, they're located inside, like a pack mail or something like that. Or
I was at the Home Depot recently, and they have something similar at the Home Depot. If you go to like the Home Depot online and order something, if it's small enough, they'll just send you a text to your phone, be like, "Hey, your order's ready. It's in locker such and such. Mm-hmm. Enter this code when you get there." So I went and I did that. But yeah, indeed, the interface that you use to enter the code and then the door opens for you, that interface has a camera on it. They're not hiding it. It looks a lot like the camera at your ATM, your drive-through ATM. So I imagine the Amazon lockers, kind of the same thing, probably the same company provides the interface for them as does Home Depot. So I imagine that our caller, Rusty, is correct that, yeah, if you want to maintain 100% anonymity, maybe even pay somebody else to go get it for you.
Mm. Good point.
Well, that's another thing with the home delivery. You can use that option and still maintain some privacy. All you have to do is use an alias and not your own address. You don't have to send it to a locker.
So like a commercial office box? Or
house, anything. It doesn't really matter as long as you have access to it.
Yeah, a lot of times at your own home, you may be getting mail for previous tenants or something like that, you know, just because they didn't change their address or whatever. It didn't make it through the system, however, still coming in. Just put their name on it, and it'll come to you.
Right.
Huh. Clever.
I mean, technically, it's not legal to open mail address to anybody else, but, I mean, if you don't tell anybody, then they're not going to know. It was intended for you. It wasn't their actual mail. You just put that other name on it. Or you can just make up a name and hope that it gets delivered to the house.
Well, and hypothetically, since I'm a human being, I can invent a company. Mm-hmm. And in that company, I can just have an office that happens to have the same name as this person I'm receiving mail for.
You do that, sure.
What a coincidence.
So
it's actually legal to receive mail in alias.
Yeah, it probably is. I'm not a lawyer. This isn't legal advice.
So you've used it twice. You've purchased products that do fit in the, I assume, the Amazon locker. You're on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
What else do your regular folks need to know? You used Monero, obviously, I assume.
Is that the only option? Is Monero only?
Yes, Monero is the only option. Mm-hmm. Okay. But the customer service was great. Like the first order, I had to switch out something, and instead of making me send him more Monero, he just, like, covered the couple extra bucks, just like whatever.
And are you getting a discount for ordering this product, or is it full price?
I do not remember getting a discount, but I used the locker.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, I wouldn't think you're going to get a discount on this.
The locker wasn't supposed to give you the discount. It was the home delivery that would.
Oh, the home delivery. Yeah. Okay. Okay, gotcha. All right. Hey, thanks for the recommendation. Anything else you want to share?
Yeah, have you heard of Cake Pay?
No, is this related to the Cake wallet?
Yes.
I've heard of the Cake wallet.
It's kind of like Dash Direct, but it's for Monero.
Really?
You can buy gift cards on the spot for exactly the amount you need. All you need is an email address. Mm-hmm. You can use a burner email. It doesn't matter.
Sweet.
And they have all the stores you can imagine, and they do discounts, too.
Nice. All right. Good to know. Thanks for the call tonight, Rusty. I appreciate hearing from you.
Yeah, thanks, Rusty. CakePay.com, apparently.
Yeah, good to know. Check that one out. Check that out for sure. All right. Let's continue here. We've got this caller. You're on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
Oliver.
Oliver?
Yes.
You're on the air, sir. What's on your mind?
Have y'all heard of the movie or the Sound of Freedom?
No, I don't think I have. What is that?
No.
It's a really important thing that talks about the way little children get put into this terrible way, you know, like a sexual.
Sex trafficking.
It's a film, apparently, right?
It looks like it. According to the IMDb page, it appears to be based on a true story.
Yes, sir.
Okay. A former government agent turned vigilante who embarks on a dangerous mission to rescue hundreds of children from sex traffickers.
There you go.
Hey, these guys are releasing their film on the same day I release my EP.
Well, it hasn't come out because you're... You know, it's like he says, what can you do? Well, this is a little thing I can do is just put it on the air with y'all tonight.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
Have you seen the movie, or are you just saying you're excited about it?
No, I think July the 4th is the date that it comes out. It's Angel.com is the one that produced the movie. And the name of the movie is Sound of Freedom.
Yeah, I've got a little blurb here that says, Sound of Freedom is a true story film that exposes the darkness of child trafficking.
I mean, look, I'm a pipe fitter, and I see all these Mexicans on the job every day, and every now and then, there's a whole lot of girls coming there, and I just wonder, when I look at them, what it took for them to get here, and I hope it didn't, you see what I mean?
Yeah, I see. I mean, definitely human trafficking is a problem, and the real solution, of course, is to legalize prostitution and to legalize immigration, to make it possible for people to cross the borders without having to deal with bureaucracy or deal with criminals, because it's going to go one way or another. Of course, the bureaucrats are criminals, too, just a different sort. And so what you have happening, of course, in a lot of cases, is people are willing to sell themselves into slavery, and sometimes I imagine that would include sex slavery in order to get themselves across the border.
And there's been cases of people who do it just to get their children across the border.
Sure.
You know, they're like, look, I want my kids to have a better life, so I'm willing to sacrifice so that my kids can be free.
But if it were legal to just simply come here, then they wouldn't have to do that.
Yeah.
And if it were legal to be a prostitute, then that would take a huge market segment away from these, you know, underground sex dealers.
Yeah, abolish passports, abolish immigration completely. Let people of planet Earth be free. We are all Earthlings. There's, you know, I mean, outside from your preferred climate, right? Most people are generally able to travel to a place that suits them. And when governments get in the way, you are preventing human beings from being free.
Looks like Mira Sorvino's in this one.
And if you talk about child trafficking, and especially child sex trafficking, what immediately comes to my mind is the Jeffrey Epstein, the blackmail rings that are the foundation of the cruelty and power structures that run government.
Out of time for tonight. Oliver, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate the call. Heads up. And you guys are going to come back here in about a half an hour for, not on the radio, for video only, our video feeds only, watch.freetalklive.com. You'll be able to see the show and listen that way if you want. Beard Talk Live coming up at 10:30 Eastern Time with these guys. So stay tuned for that. We'll see you online in the meantime at freetalklive.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.